Good morning.
Good
morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for the one fish I caught yesterday. And I am grateful. Lord, thank you for all the folks that are coming back to church. Lord, we trust you that you will keep us safe. And, you know, and I pray that you'll continue to battle against this whole COVID-19 thing. And Lord, we trust you with everything that we're doing here at Pauline Baptist Church. Lord, you said the steps of a righteous man or woman, right, are directed by you. And so we just trust you, trust your will for our church family. Lord, we pray for our church family, the ones that may be sick or ill, the ones that are traveling and going on vacations and visiting family. We'll pray for their safety, that they can get there and back. And we love you. We thank you. Pray for our missionaries around the country. Pray for our military doing their things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 38. We're going to complete. This is the last message in this 5 or 6 week series that we've been talking about the fig tree and the fruit that it was not bearing, and how God wanted to dig around the soil. You know, the Lord, you know, Jesus told the parable about digging around the soil and fertilizing it. So we're going to end it up today. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 38. So here we go. Let's follow along. I have the New King James Version. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered. Think about that for a minute now. I don't want to get too sidetracked there. But Jesus had compassion on them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. If you want to do a little study on your own, go study that verse 30-36 and really look at the words and how it's 37. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Everybody said amen? Amen. So the big point of the whole message this morning and this whole series that we went through is that God, the master gardener, okay, whose ultimate goal is to produce fruit in and through us. He wants to use our lives to produce fruit for the kingdom. You see, there's a harvest of spiritual fruit that can be developed in the life of the believer. That's part of the spiritual growth, the spiritual maturity as believers. See, there's also a harvest, like we talked about last week. There's a harvest of souls. People getting saved, and, you know, being adopted into the kingdom of God. And if you allow God to work in your life, you can be part of this spiritual harvest. And it's a beautiful thing. Not only is it a beautiful thing, it has eternal impact. See, God wants to develop these spiritual gifts in us. He really does. He wants us to take time. To take time and develop these spiritual gifts within us. And one of those ways is really making a commitment to the women's ministry and their Bible study that they're going to be doing. Kelly's been working on this for about 7 years, right? It seems like it anyway. So that, I'm excited for you guys, you know. Us men, I guess me and Glenn, or I'll have to, we'll, yeah. We got a great thing planned too. I shouldn't joke around about that, should I? The Lord's going to guide us. I really believe that. We're going to do something very good. We may watch some Joby Martin videos about manhood. I don't know. We'll definitely figure that out. God's going to direct our steps on that too. And men need that spiritual fruit probably more than women. Really. Really do. You know? Yeah. I'm going to leave that one alone. Here's the cool thing about that, is we can partner with God. We can partner with God in this eternal, you know, fruit that He wants to happen through our lives here on earth. This redeeming mission that He has to save souls. God wants us to be a part of His team. He wants us to be a part of what's going on. Amen? Now, like I said earlier, this is the final week. The final week of our Rooted series. And today we're going to talk about the harvest. We're going to talk about the harvest. The harvest is what comes. The harvest is what comes after the planting, after the cultivating, after the pruning, and everything else necessary to literally produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And we all know, you've heard 100 times, that we don't produce that. He does. Okay? So one of the main points again from this message is everyone, now listen clearly, everyone wants the delicious fruit at the time of harvest. But few are willing to do what it really takes along the way. And that's so true. So let's take a look real quickly about the reality of this spiritual harvest. Galatians, we're going to go there again. Chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And most of us know these and have these memorized. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Again, I'm very excited that the women's ministry are going to dive deeper into this. And I'm very excited about that. Say, as a follower of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit that comes inside of us and baptizes us and seals us until that day we go to heaven. And one of His jobs, He has many different jobs, I hate to use the word jobs, but one of His missions and ministries and jobs is to guide us, direct us, correct us, give us counsel. But also, as we stay plugged into Jesus, He produces these fruit in our life. These fruits are present in everyone's life. Every believer's life. But they must be exercised and they must be groomed to become, ready? To become our new nature. And this takes time for most people. Especially if you're a new believer, it's going to take some time to mature and grow. You could be just going to church for a while, you know, and still be immature. We talked about that several months ago, you know. When we walk in the power of the Spirit, we produce these fruits. And then, like we talked about John last week, I hope I didn't embarrass him, is when you're walking in the Spirit, right, and you're, the Holy Spirit's producing these fruits in your life, people begin to ask you, what's different about her? What's different about him? I want what he has. I want what she has. And really what it is just the fruit of the Spirit. But the key is us walking in and through the Spirit. Now, Galatians also talks about the human nature. It talks about the human nature and the Spirit are in conflict with each other. Y'all remember that? It's just constantly in conflict with each other. So, let's look real quick at the fruit of human nature. Okay, it's in Galatians. The whole message is in Galatians. Galatians 5, 19, 21, if you're taking notes. I'm going to read it. This is a fruit of the human nature. It says, everybody with me? Now the work of the flesh are evident. which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something about this. I have, and at times still practice these things. If you think you're sitting here and you're not practicing these things, you're in denial. Or you really haven't looked up these words and studied this Bible verse. We're all sinners saved by grace. Now, if that shocks you and you go, oh man, what? Sorry, I'm just human. But if you study these things and you listen to what Jesus taught, the Holy Spirit will show you that every one of us in here are guilty of some of these things. Now, I'm not being negative. This is just truthful. This backs us all into the corner. We have no excuse and no reason. And I'm going to tell you something. When it says that all those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, that's what it means. And you know what it really tells me? When that death angel comes, just like the days of Moses, when that death angel came and the blood of the Lamb was on their door and the death angel passed over them, because all those folks in there, they're all sinners and doing wrong. They were God's chosen people. And if you're a believer in Christ, you've been adopted into the family of God, you're a chosen generation. And even though we do these things once in a while, every once in a while, when that death angel comes and passes over you and me, and we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. We're covered in the blood of the Lamb. The death angel will just pass right over. And we will live forever because of the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb that was worthy to be slain for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ died on that cross. You guys hear me? We will inherit the kingdom of God. You have already really inherited the kingdom of God. You're already citizens of heaven. Just happen to have to live here on this earth in this earth suit for a little while. If you're a born again Christian, the cool thing about that is you're never going to die. I'm never going to die. Really let that sit in. If you don't understand that, you don't understand your salvation experience. This old body, even though it's got aches and pains and knickknacks and paddywhacks, you know, this is not me. This is just my earth suit. Y'all heard me say this before. The real me, Dallas, I'm saved, born again, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a child of God. Even though this old body is starting to rot. Amen. And yeah, I may do some of these things every once in a while. I may sin occasionally. God said He's faithful and just, and He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When that death angel comes over and comes, and you do, the old body finally, you know, gives up the ghost, that old body finally goes down to the ground where it's going to go, you're going to heaven if you're a believer. This is beautiful. This is the good news that Paul was so passionate about, isn't it? So if you read this about all these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you're practicing some of these things, I want to encourage you to repent, right? Repent of your sins. Part of that inheriting the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of God is love and peace. If you're a born-again Christian, and you're living and doing some of these things, you will not have any peace. You will always be under condemnation and fear and judgment and shame and guilt and all that kind of stuff. So that's why you need to repent of these things so that you can get right, you know, get right with God. To live in the Spirit takes courage, wisdom, discernment, and intentionality. You have to be intentional about this. There's nothing magic to it. There's nothing super spiritual about it. There's nothing hyper religious about it. It's a decision that you have to make each day to say, you know what? I'm going to stay plugged in to Christ. How do you do that? Oh, we all know, most of us, right? I've preached sermons and sermons about how to really stay plugged in. It also takes energy, and it takes pruning. So as you look at these fruit of the Spirit, right? All those nine, I won't quote them again, but those nine. When you look at those, even this morning, the Holy Spirit should be bringing a few to your attention. The fruit, which one do you need more growth? Think about it, those nine. Which one do you need more growth in? You need to fertilize. As we look at the fruit of the human nature, which one kind of stood out to you as I read them? Now some of those words, you know, I had to look them up. Every time I read it, I forget what they mean. I have to look them up and see what they really mean. So I encourage you, go do a little Bible study on the fruit of the nature, you know, the natural flesh. Look up each word. Look it up in the Webster's dictionary and get your little Bible dictionary and look at the word. Most of us here are murderers. That's weird for a preacher to say, isn't it? But what did Jesus say about that? That's just a simple illustration of one word, right? You ever got really ticked off and mad and hold a resentment and got mad at somebody? What did Jesus say about that? So you know, I don't want to go there. So if there's one of these areas of the human nature that God needs to prune and cut away, let him. Let him prune. Let him garden. Because in the end, it's going to be beautiful for you. It's going to be impactful for the world. Later on in Galatians, it talks about you reap what you sow. This is a spiritual law. You can't argue with it. It's like a natural law, a physical law. What's the one physical law? Somebody tell me. Gravity. I mean, you can't really argue with it. You can supersede it a little bit, you know. But you can't really argue with it. You can't really deny it. I mean, the Pope, Billy Graham, and Hitler can get up on top of our church, and they all three jump off at the same time. What's going to happen? They're all going to hit the ground. It doesn't matter really how evil one was or how good one or how, you know, spiritual one was. It's just a, you know, physical law. Natural law of the land. I mean, it's 55 miles an hour on this road out here. I don't like it. I think it's dumb, but it's irrelevant. I can be rebellious and defiant and not obey it. I might get away with it for a while. I might do 70 home. Stupid 55 miles. Dumb. Who come up with that idea? That's ridiculous. Right? You can deny it. You can be rebellious. And you can break that law. But you're not perfect. And eventually, you're going to what? You're going to get caught. And you're going to suffer consequences. I don't want to give Brooks County or Lowndes County $150, do you? I don't like doing that. These are spiritual laws. I mean, these are laws. You know, physical law, natural law. And then there's spiritual law. And one of the spiritual laws it talks about in Galatians is the spiritual law of reaping and sowing. You just, it's a spiritual law that you can't really argue with. You can deny it, you can be in denial, you can rebel against it, and you can say, you know, the world kind of calls it what? Karma, you know? You get back what you put in, that kind of thing. The world kind of always has this disguise of things from a biblical point. But let's read it, Galatians 6, 8 through 10. You ready? Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen? I mean, it's real plain here. We're going to plant an apple tree out here pretty soon and a fig tree. So when we plant this apple tree, and I'm trying to insult you, but eventually, what kind of fruit are we going to have? Apples. If we plant some strawberry bushes or plants, what are they called? Bushes or plants or both? Plants. Some strawberry plants. What are we going to get? We're going to get strawberry plants, right? I kind of use this as a counseling technique where I work. Because the guy's running around, he said, I'm an orange tree. I'm an orange tree. Not really, this is a metaphor. I'm an orange tree, but he's producing like pears. I always go, And I think maybe he's a Decepticon. Some of you know what I mean by that, right? Transformer people. But really, right? I mean, you could do the same thing at work, you know. It's this lady or whatever at work is, you know, saying, I'm a whatever kind of fruit tree, you know, and then all of a sudden you see the fruits, you know. You know, the Bible says don't judge people, but a lot of times that's really not what it means, because he wants us to be fruit inspectors. If you're hanging around people and you're not judging the fruit that they bear, you're just being naive, and really you're asking for trouble. That we should be watching and looking at the fruit that people bear, especially young people. If you're hanging on those friends, you know, they say, yeah, I go to church and everything's cool, and yeah. But, you know, privately or secretly or something you see on Facebook or whatever, there's different fruit. Something's not right. A Decepticon. Amen? So watch out for that. If we sow evil and sin into our lives and the lives around us, we will reap the same. It's a spiritual law. If we want to receive the things of God within our lives, we must sow, okay? We must sow to please the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We must sow. I'm just going to say them again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Amen? It's not easy, but we cannot get tired or weary of doing good, because it has an eternal impact. It really does. Weariness sets in when we try to do things under our own power. I'll say that again. Weariness sets in when we try to do things under our own power. Day by day, we must lean on the Holy Spirit. We must trust God. Now think about last week. Last week we talked about staying plugged into the vine. John 15:5. Jesus says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'll start closing now. It says, we must be able to distinguish between the fresh fruit and the rotten fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 through 18. Listen closely. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Guys, the point here is that people around you will recognize the type of fruit that you're bearing. You see, fresh fruit is delicious and inviting. while rotten fruit stinks. And no one wants to have it. Rotten fruit will just throw out and throw away. Rotten fruit is not hard to recognize, right? You think about the opposites of those fruits of the Spirit. Do that one, you know, flip them up. When fruit starts getting rotten, it's really kind of the opposite of those fruits of the Spirit. Talked about last week, the salvation. When salvation, that seed is planted within us, the whole idea of that is that we grow in the Lord and we grow and we mature, and this continues on and on until we expire, until God calls us home. It's a lifelong journey, isn't it? And we're not perfect and we're going to mess it up. We all do. We all mess up, make mistakes. It's a lifelong journey. We stay plugged into Christ. He gives us the strength. Amen? I'll say it one more time. Everyone wants the delicious fruit at the time of harvest, but few are willing to do all that's necessary along the way. You see, guys, if we do our part, God will do His part. And our part doesn't have to be anything huge. It may be. Most of the time, God just wants us to do a little few things and do them with excellence, right? And then He'll do His big thing. We have a role to play in this. So I'll conclude. Now, throughout this series, we have talked about some of the heavy realities of following Christ. There's been some heavy information, but that's okay. This is Scripture. So have you seen yourself? Have you seen yourself through these 5-6 weeks? Are you currently in a season of growth and health? Or are you in a season of pruning? Are you experiencing the richness of the harvest right now in your life? Amen? So I got a question for you. Are you ready to profess your faith and make a lifelong commitment to Christ? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today that seed can be planted and the Holy Spirit can come inside of you to help you walk in the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Follow Christ. If you've never given your life to Christ, today's the day. Amen? I have a few questions for you. It's in your bulletin. You don't have to turn it if you don't want to, but take it home. And I'm going to literally just read these questions, and I want you to think about it. Are you ready to step into the fields of harvest and commit to a deeper level of training and discipleship? Are you really ready? First start could be Wednesday night, ladies, and men too. Is God calling you to join our church and get active, involved? Is God calling you into the ministry? Is God calling you to go to seminary, Bible college? Is God calling you to be a missionary around the world? Or a missionary in our neighborhood or in America? Like He said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. What is God calling you to do? Wherever you find yourself today, please know that God sees you and God loves you right where you're at. But He wants you to grow. He don't want you to stay right there. He wants you to grow. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. He knows the journey you have taken and the trials that you may be going through. He's there for you. He's been there for you. And He will always be there for you. By His grace and empowerment, the last thing, by His grace and empowerment, you can have a life of abundant fruit that you can see a 10, 20, maybe even 100-fold return. It's a beautiful thing. So here's the final prayer. It's in your bulletin. I ask that you pray for yourself each day this week. And it's in your bulletin. So here we go. I'm going to read it. Here's the prayer. God, please work in me and through me to make a difference in the world. I believe you have placed seeds inside me to grow into a beautiful harvest in my life. Enable me to submit to your work in my life. May you use me to further your kingdom on earth. Everybody say amen. Let's close. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, as always, for your word. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that'd like to give their life to Jesus, that during this song of invitation, they'd come down and I'd be glad to pray with them. Lord, I just ask you to work in their hearts. As I told you many years ago, I will not try to manipulate people to come down to this altar. If it's meant to be, it's because of you. You draw people into salvation. So if there's one here today, or maybe the sound of my voice on our website, or they place their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they repent of their sins and serve you for the rest of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.